Thanks, Chris. It's a real delight to be here, actually. It's first time that I've got away from our own church to preach, and thank you, Kerry, for inviting me and trusting me with your lovely people. And also want to thank Chris. I'm one of these picky preachers who likes to have a clip on one of these non-handheld ones because I gesticulate a lot. But we couldn't get it to work, and Chris worked very, very hard this morning to try and get it, but it wouldn't behave itself. So, but anyway, I just want to thank Chris for that extra time that he put in to help me out. Well, it's a pleasure to be here. You might like to turn to Luke chapter 1, verse 26, and we will go through this. There's a man walking down on the side of some cliffs, and the big cliffs, like a Dover. Or is it the other side of the Isle of Wight? Is that down by the Solent? Have I got that right? There's those lovely big cliffs. And he's walking a bit close to the edge, and suddenly the edge crumbles away, and he falls over. And, of course, he sees, just as he's gone over, he sees this root thing sticking out. He grabs it with his hand, both hands, like, can't quite do it like that. But he grabs it, and he's going, help, help, somebody help me. And he's screaming and hollering, hanging on for dear life, and he's starting to run out of breath, and as all people, as people do when they get into extreme situations, he says, oh God, help! Well, as soon as he says that, boom, there's this big angel appears in front of him. Of course, it scares him again. He almost lets go. But he says, oh, who are you? And he says, you called out to God. I'm an angel. He sent me. Then the angel says, what do you want? And the guy thinks, what do you think I want, you stupid? Because he didn't want to say that out loud. He said, I have fallen off the cliff. And I need help. All right then, angel disappears. Poof, he's back in a second. God says, why should he help you? And he goes, oh, shoot. Trying to think desperately, and he remembers this conversation that he had from someone from River Church that about how God really appreciates and really likes people who have faith. Faith in God is so important to him. So he says, I've got faith in God. Poof, angel disappears. Flash, he's back in a second. And he says, you have faith in God. He says, oh, yes. Oh, I've got great faith in God. God says, let go. Is there anyone else up there? I love the stories of faith. I love reading these amazing things that people do. Outrageous things like letting go when there's no reason in the mind to let go. And one of the things that is difficult with the scriptures that we read, especially this one, is it's so familiar. I mean, I know you people do a Christmas service, same as we do, and this scripture gets read out every Christmas, does it not? Does it not? Am I talking nonsense here? I like some feedback from the people I'm preaching to. So, and the problem with that, and if you're like me, you go through, I have a thing that reads through the new, not I don't do it. I missed some. But, I read, try and get through the New Testament every year. So this is a scripture that comes up regularly. And it's easy with scriptures that are familiar. Just, oh, yeah, I know that one. Just read through. You've done that one. What's my next, Old Testament, whatever. But I just was reading it recently. And, again, it was just before Christmas. And I spent some time in it. And I was really actually quite moved in a way that I hadn't before, and I'd come across a scripture that I hadn't, that someone had mentioned. I thought, man, I didn't know that. So I'd like us to go through this passage together, and we'll see how we go. Let's read that together. Have you got it? No, I don't want that up yet. I'll ask when that's, we're not even close to that one yet. Dang, you all know what I'm going to pray. It's all right, no problem. I was looking to see that in my, anyway, you all got your Bibles, everyone got your iPads or, phones, and some people have got real Bibles, which is good. In the sixth month, the angel Gabriel was sent from God to a city of Galilee named Nazareth to a virgin betrothed to a man whose name was Joseph of the house of David. Just quickly about betrothal. In those days, betrothal was like a serious deal. It wasn't just like engagement. Oh, have you heard? We've got engaged. When you're getting married, oh, we're getting married in a few months' time. It's just, we'll just do that, just letting everyone know. And we're getting, that's all, in our world today, that tends to be all it is. But in those days, it was a serious business. It was like a legal contract. If this contract got broken, there was all sorts. It was as bad as a divorce. You had to go through that process. Normally it was a 12-month period, sometimes six. And the funny thing was is that it was arranged. It was arranged between the families, and the two getting married probably only met each other a few times, and they didn't see each other very much during that whole time. I think it's good background to know in this situation. And the virgin's name was Mary, and he came to her and said, "Greetings, O favored one, the Lord is with you." But she was greatly troubled at the saying and tried to discern what sort of greeting this might be. Now, I looked at that scripture and I thought, that's hilarious. Why is it hilarious? This is the third time that we hear of Gabriel turning up in the Bible. The first time is with Daniel. The second time is with Zechariah, which I actually love that whole story. And this is the third time with Mary. Now, with the blokes, it's interesting. When Gabriel turned up to Daniel, Daniel was so terrified and fell on his face. You know, just and when he turned up to Zechariah, Zechariah's just speechless with fear. The fear came upon him. But with Mary's not troubled by it. You know, you'd think an angel appears. What's going on? She's more worried about what he said than the appearance of the angel. Isn't that interesting? Quite interesting. Now, I have my theory. Of course, this is true. This is from the Bible. It's actually what the scholars think. You know, we blokes, we're testosterone-driven, sort of people, you see. And I think the Lord said to Gabriel, when you go and talk to these guys, turn up in all your glory. I don't want any of this, you know, macho stuff getting in the way of what I have to say to them. It's too important. So he turns up in all his glory. They're terrified. No more. It's on your faces. Now, of course, to Mary, the Lord says to Gabriel, you don't have to do this for Mary. She is the sweet, beautiful, beautiful young lady. She has a pure and humble heart. You don't need to scare the cheese out of her. She won't need it. So I'm not sure whether the angel turned up in all his glory or he toned it all down or not. Part of me kind of thinks that Mary was so surrendered to the Lord. Such a beautiful heart, such an honest heart. Such a pure heart that when she saw, she just recognized the presence of God and thought, this is amazing. I don't know. That's just my theory. But I think it was fun for me to think on that kind of a thing. But the Lord says to her, greetings, O faith. And she's worried about this greeting. Why is she worried about that greeting? Greeting, O favored one, the Lord is with you. You know, there wasn't that, yes, I know. I know I'm the favored one, yes. It was, oh my God, what does this mean? I don't understand. Because she was such a humble and pure heart. I think the Lord said to Gabriel, you do not have to do this for her. She's going to be worried about what you say to her. Because she was a humble girl. She was just in her early teens. Pure heart, humble heart. And to hear someone say, you're a favored one. She's like, no, what, me? Oh, hang on, what's going on here? You with me? That, for me, gives me a picture of who Mary is more than any other thing. Pure heart. Blessed are the pure in heart, for they shall see God. I think she recognized who the angel was and recognized the presence of God was with me. Blessed are the poor in spirit, those who are humble and broken, for theirs is the kingdom. The kingdom will come to her. Poof, easy. There's a sermon in that there. That's what I think she was like. That's what I think Mary was like. This was who, the sort of person that she was. Now, that might be a lot from that scripture, but I believe that. Then he goes on and says, don't be afraid, Mary, for you have found favor with God. And behold, you will conceive in your womb and bear a son, and you shall call his name Jesus. He will be great and will be called the Son of the Most High. And the Lord will give to him the throne of his father David, and he will reign over the house of Jacob forever, and of his kingdom there will be no end. Wow. I mean, that's amazing. Now, I've heard these stories about how every young girl wanted to be the mother of Messiah. But I bet they wouldn't have been prepared for a message like that. Seriously. This is a huge, huge thing that's being said to her. Amazing miracle is going to happen for her. Once she said, let it be to me. according to your will. That blows me away. Frankly, that blows me away. Does it blow anyone else? It blows me away. I think that's just amazing. Now, I don't know what was going on for her. It's just interesting that the angel says, for nothing will be impossible with God. The meaning of that little phrase there is, whatever God has said, nothing will stop it happening. That's kind of what the word rhema is in there. When God has spoken, it will happen, basically. That's what that little phrase means. Behold, I'm the servant of the Lord. Let it be according to your word. The word there is bondservant. Now, wave at me if you know what a bondservant is. Oh, my gosh, not many people know what a bondservant is. A bondservant was actually just a voluntary slave. In those days, slavery was very common. And so sometimes, and in Israel, of course, and in other places, slaves would be set free. Now, a slave may come to the master and say, you have been such a good master. You have looked after me so well. I love being here. I do not want to stop being your slave. I do not want to stop being in your household and serving you. So the master would take that slave and he would put a carpenter's awl and pierce that ear. Well, I don't know which one it was. It was probably signified one particular one. I don't know if they put a ring in or anything. Which signified to those in the household and anyone walking down, anyone else in the city, when that man or woman went down the road, he was saying to the rest of the people, you keep your hands off this man or woman. He's not for sale. You can't have him. He belongs with me. Because it was a commitment of life. And this is what it meant. It was a surrender of rights. It was continuing to be a slave, but voluntarily. That's what the word servant there means. Is that making sense? Far more powerful than just servant. Quite important. I am the bond servant of the Lord. Let it be according to your word. I wonder what was going on for her when she heard that. It might have been just in the moment of the time she made this act of surrender. I wonder if it occurred to her in Deuteronomy 23 that it says, anyone who is betrothed but is found pregnant during that time will be stoned. Did you know that? That was what the law required. That the man and the woman who during a betrothal and went off and was, during that time, if she was found pregnant, she and that person were stoned. What was she going to say? It's God. Would her parents believe her? Would the community believe her? Would you believe her? We probably would, because we've got the hindsight. We're spiritual Christians. We believe in this. But they weren't such things at that time, I don't think. Of course, the Spirit of God came on people. When the time came, what was it going to be like for her? How much time I've got? It's interesting that it says, in those days, Mary arose and went with haste into the hill country. Remember, I didn't read the whole thing. Gabriel had mentioned to her, your relative Elizabeth is 6 months pregnant already. We know from the story, if you've read it, that Elizabeth had a baby in her old age. And I think that was past childbearing age. Same as Sarah. But it's a separate message. And so it says there, in those days, Mary arose with haste. And she said, oh my gosh, what have I given myself in for? And he mentioned Elizabeth. I'll go and see Elizabeth. I don't know if that was going on, but with haste, she went up to meet her. Now, I suspect that the signs of pregnancy weren't yet evident when she went to see her. This is fun. This is the Spirit-filled life. Some of you, I hope all of you can relate to this. She entered the house of Zechariah and greeted Elizabeth. When Elizabeth heard the greeting of Mary, the baby leapt in her womb. She's 6 months pregnant. That little baby inside Elizabeth suddenly leapt in her womb because she heard Mary's greeting. That's all the communication that's happened between the two of them. Have to assume they haven't spoken before this. They didn't have cell phones in those days, as far as I know. And Elizabeth was filled with the Spirit of God and exclaimed with a loud cry, blessed are you among women, and blessed is the fruit of your womb. Why is this granted to me that the mother of my Lord should come to me? And she goes on to explain what happened. And blessed is she who believed that there would be a fulfillment of what was spoken to her from the Lord. I don't think Mary as yet is beginning to show the signs of her pregnancy. As you ladies know, it takes a while. Isn't that amazing? Isn't it great to when you've had a word from God and suddenly you think, what have I done? And the enemy comes in and all the fears and think, oh my gosh, is this right? So she goes to Elizabeth, and Elizabeth gets an anointing and says, hey, you're the lady. Think of what it would have done to her. No wonder she starts praising the Lord with that, my soul magnifies the Lord, wouldn't you? How many of you had that situation? You've been worried and someone comes up and brings a word, reads your mail, tells you exactly what you want to hear, you go, oh, thank you, Jesus. You're all staring. Does this relate to anyone? Who's had that experience? Yes, please, just, you know, I don't want to be talking to. Anyway. Blessed is the one who has believed that there'd be a fulfillment. Mary's faith, I think, is an amazing thing. Life-changing. She stayed with Elizabeth 3 months, and of course, usually, as you ladies especially know, we blokes are a bit thick about this, obviously, but certainly by 3 months, you know you're pregnant, and the signs are beginning to be seen, and that's when it all begins to, you know, you wonder what's going on. Here's the point. As soon as Mary heard or felt or knew in her body she was pregnant, guess what? There was no turning back from this course. She couldn't back up and say, oh, no thanks, Lord, I've changed my mind, sorry. You know, there was no clinic to go to. It was no turning back for her, come what may. If people didn't like her, if people no one believed her, what about Joseph? Would he stone me? No, that can't be because I'm carrying the Son of God. But would I be safe? Would it be difficult? What's going to happen? All these questions. Not such a nice little story, is it? It's quite scary, I think, for her. Quite scary. There was no turning back for her. She was committed to that course, come what may. No choice at that point. No choice at that point. Caused me to think about, what is faith really all about? I've come up with three things. There's no particular order in these, but I think they're all part and parcel of the thing. The first thing that I think that Mary demonstrates is that as a foundational value or thing that we need to have is a place of total surrender to God. Total surrender. Absolute, complete surrender of everything to the Lord. Everything. Everything, everything, everything. Paul in Galatians 2:20 says, "For I am crucified with Christ, and I no longer live. But Christ lives in me, and the life I now live in the body, I live by faith in the Son of God who loved me and gave himself for me." I no longer live. That kind of sounds like total surrender. No rights, I've given them all up. No possessions, given them all up. Anything that I want to do, given it up. I'm dead unless Jesus gives me life. That's what it means. Foundation of real life-changing faith, of the faith that's going to change the world, I believe requires total surrender. Total surrender. Scary, huh? Next one is obedience. Paul in Romans chapter 1 verse 5. Says that it was goal to go to the Gentiles to call them to the obedience of faith. What a strange thing. Obedience of faith, what does that mean? It means that faith looks like something. You can't just say you believe and not do something. You can't hear from the Lord and then just sit back, oh, God spoke to me, and it be meaningless. If God has spoken to us to do something, to be something, it can be inward obedience. For Mary, it was inward, but it very soon had an outward appearance. Or it's outward obedience straight away to us for something that God has sent. Do I believe this? Obedience is needed. We know in James it says that faith without works is dead. That's the second one. You're all looking at me. Third one. This is the nice one. This is where you think, why didn't he say this first? This is trust, which is obvious. You know, faith requires trust. That kind of makes sense. It's trust when we don't understand. It's trust when, how in the world is this going to happen? It's trust for the man. God says, let go. You've got to be kidding me. Kind of thing that he sometimes says. Trust me. Trust me when you don't understand what's happening. One of my favorite verses that I've clung to for years and years and years and has helped me get through things that I've been confronted with. Trust in the Lord. Proverbs. Thanks, Gary. Proverbs 3, 5 and 6. Trust in the Lord. If you know the site with me, trust in the Lord with all your heart. Do not lean on your own understanding. In all your ways acknowledge him, and he will make your path straight. Trust in the Lord with all your heart. Don't lean on your understanding. I think one of the difficulties and problems of the Western world is that we have elevated our understanding, this intellect that that God has given us, but in the Western world we have elevated the prowess of our intellect to a point where we worship it. No, we don't. Yes, you do. No, not we do. You don't hear. This is River Church. We don't do that sort of thing here. But in the Western world, I believe that's what our biggest problem is. We like things to be sorted out in our minds. We like things all to be, or it doesn't, you know, if we can't see it, if we can't feel it, or we think we know, that's the problem. Paul says to us, remember he says, I call you to walk by faith and not by sight. Sight is seeing, feeling, thinking that we know. It's like science. And yet, I'm not knocking science. You know, some of the greatest scientists in the past were God-fearing people. But I think in our day we have elevated science, which really is only the end product of our intellectual prowess. That's all it is. Sounds similar. That's all science is. It can only go as far as our intellects will let us. But we have elevated that above the knowledge of God. You see, God doesn't dwell there. He dwells outside that. He's beyond that. Now we can put that thing up. This is a little, what do you call these things? You know, where you, oh, this is a mnemonic. That's the word came to me. I thought, is that what it's called? Faith. We're talking about faith because Mary exhibited this amazing faith. Can we put the next one up now, Ian? Forsaking all, I trust him. That's summarizing those three things. Forsaking everything, I trust him. The Lord calls us to this kind of faith, I believe. Mary had this faith. Mary is called to do the impossible. Faith lives in the realm of the impossible. What we in our minds think, that's not possible. God says it's going to happen. That's what we are called to as Christians. I personally believe that. If we want to see the world changed and shaken in the way we want to see it happen, this is the faith that's required from us. It's a challenge to me. I'm not saying that I'm up there at all. So I go and try and hang out with people of huge faith. I mean, going to spend time with Heidi and Roland in Mozambique was eye-opening. The things they see there, beyond belief. Beyond belief, you know what I mean? There's no room in our minds to understand what's going on. But faith opens their eyes to see it and see these things happen. Mary had it. Her life was just one huge step. Her life was changed the moment she said that. It requires complete letting go of everything and going forward with God. And I really, really believe that we will not see in our world the changes. We will not see a world change. We will not see people come to the Lord. We will not see the change in our community until we step out beyond what we think we know. And listen to the Lord and do what he says, come what may. Trusting that he will be there. Trusting that he will see us through. We are like Mary, sort of. to be the ones who are carriers of the kingdom within us, so that when we come across situations and needs, we're the ones that release that power and presence of Jesus into the world. Are we not called to partner with him in this? This is our call. This is what we're supposed to do. This is what he calls us to. The foundation of our faith, think about this. There are two absolutely crazy things that we believe in as Christians. Number one, there was a virgin birth. Oh, you can't prove that scientifically. Well, no, you can't. I've had that said to me. You can't prove it scientifically. I said, well, don't care. I don't care. You can't prove it scientifically. Don't even try. Well, you know, we can raise people back to life now. Oh, no, I'm getting ahead of myself. You can't prove a virgin birth. Not possible. It is just not. It's not scientifically possible. But it happened. Don't you? Who believes that? I believe that. I believe. Yeah, praise the Lord. That's number one. Number two is that we believe in a Savior who died and rose again from the dead, never to die again. Oh, yes, but we can raise people back to life now. You know, we've got all these electronic things. We can, you know, people can be dead an hour. We can still get them back to life. Yes, but they're still going to die again. Jesus did not die again. There are no bones left anywhere. We believe in another thing that's physically, to our mental minds, impossible. Why is it so often we struggle to believe other impossibilities when our foundation of our faith is an absolute, unprovable impossibility? That's daft. Totally daft. Why do we think like that? It's weird, isn't it? But we get so... God calls us into the realm of the impossibility. Not just for healings. It's all sorts of things. Henry, I have time. Look at the time. Time for me to shut up. Oh, I'll finish there. This is our calling. I think surrender is a bit like, I'll just say this very quickly. You may or may not agree with me, but this is what I think it looks like. And I think it's the foundation. Everything builds on that. Surrender is if, and I'm not talking about the four spiritual laws. Surrender is if we're standing on one side of a crevasse, and you know, picture this. Paul says we are delivered out of the kingdom of darkness and transferred into the kingdom of his son. Make sense? So there's a huge hole between the two. Well, bottomless pit, if you like. So we stand on one side. Over there is the Lord Jesus standing there beckoning us to come. Between us, there is a rope bridge. And he says, before you come, you've got to leave everything behind. Strip your clothes off, leave everything. Nothing. You bring nothing with you. You just dump it all there. Your dreams, your hopes, your longings, your failures, your fears, all these things, just leave them here. You go across, excuse my crassness, butt naked across that rope. Okay, nothing. Left or behind. You go across that, I hope that's not too, you know, that's I've got to be careful where I say things now. So you go across that rope, you get on the other side, and an angel hands you this machete. You then have to turn around and go shoong to that rope, which means you can't go back and get that. That, folks, is total surrender. And that's when you trust the Lord, whatever he wants you to have from that you've left there, he will bring it to you and bring it to life in you. And it may not be what you think it is. That is total surrender. And that is what I want to invite you guys to do this morning. In your hearts, or whatever, however you want to do that, in the worship time. That, I think, is where it starts as a Christian, as our Christian walk. That is where we need to continue in everything, trusting him for whatever happens, for every single thing that comes along. Please don't look at me as the epitome of this. I'm still thinking, oh, you've got to be kidding me. It is not easy sometimes. It is not easy when it's going wrong. It is not easy when what he said will come to pass hasn't yet, and it's been days, weeks, months, years, and you still haven't seen it. It isn't always easy. It isn't always rosy, but that's what we're called to. Oh, thank you for that lovely, heartwarming message this morning, Ian. I feel so uplifted this morning. But it's a great life. You see things that no one else sees. You get to experience the stories that we loved. We love reading these stories, don't we? Who loves your? I love reading them. You know, if we walk in it, we will have our own amazing stories to tell people. I'd love to share some of the things that, you know, in the past, but I'm out of time. I have got time. So let's have some worship. Is that all right, Kerry? It's all the right. Look at this. Yeah, they're right in front of me. Can we just have some worship now? She's frantically shoving things in her ear. And it's not working, is it? Stupid things, you know. Whoever thought that when Jesus said, "Come, follow me," this is what it meant. Praise the Lord. I'm actually glad I didn't have a clue at the time. I had this amazing encounter with the Lord. I didn't realize when I came to the Lord, actually, I'd taken that step. I didn't realize that what it was. But I learned. This little guy. Let's pray. Father, I thank you for every single person in this room here. Thank you for everyone, every single one. I thank you, Lord, that you love us deeply. You love us powerfully. You love us eternally. And that great love causes us to leave it all behind and come follow. Lord, give us such a vision of who you are that just letting go is not difficult. That we know you because we know that you love us and you'll never leave us or forsake us as we seek to follow you. I don't know what songs Kerry has chosen to sing now. She may be frantically going through her mind, thinking, "I know a good song," but then no, she's struggling with her ear singing. During the worship, what I want to encourage you to do, that if what I've said to you has spoken to you, and you think, you know what, Ian, I think I need to take that step. I need to do something to anchor that in my life. I really invite you to come up the front. Now, it would just be a real privilege and a joy to pray for you. Just to come up. This is sort of an altar. Well, not sort of. It is an altar call. But during the worship time, as we worship, if that's where you feel that stirred me up, Ian, I think of the few things I need to let go of and put in the past and let it go and just step forward with the Lord. If you feel that the Lord's saying, "This is for you," come on up. Time you sorted this out, come on up. Come on up. The Lord's here. The Lord's present. He loves us. So why don't you do that? Thanks.